members. I'm presenting Senate File 255. This bill will allow the state auditor to upgrade the accounting software used by towns, townships, small cities across the state and keep the program updated. The bill creates a dedicated account to receive user fees. This approach has been supported by the Minnesota Association of Townships and the Minnesota Association of Small Cities. I do have an A13-0021.
And that's amendment. A delete all author's amendment. It is in your packet right underneath the bill. It's already been passed out. Would someone like to offer that for Senator Saxhog? Senator Dahl offers the A13 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails. All right, Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now with me today is Kent Sulem from the Minnesota Association of Townships. Kent. And State Auditor Rebecca Otto. Give brief testimony and help answer any questions the committee might have. With that, I'm going to pass this on to Mr. Sulem.
Mr. Sulem, welcome back.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Kent Sulem, General Counsel with the Minnesota Association of Townships. This bill represents the manifestation of a discussion we've had with Auditor Otto for the past several months, and actually much longer in terms of foreseeing the need coming. The CTAS program is used by a majority of our members now. I believe almost two-thirds, actually, of our members are now on the CTAS program, or maybe even a little higher. And it's an important program that allows the small townships and the small cities across the state to be able to provide very straightforward approach to tracking their finances and being able to be in total sync with this auditor's reporting requirements that are, you know, the statutory reporting requirements. We've been working with the auditor's office for over 20 years as an association on this program, provide extensive training. Their staff has gone out on the road. Well, I'm approaching my 13th anniversary with the township anniversary, and every year I've been there, we've had the auditor staff on the road with us, training people on CTAS. We have a couple of town officers who are now helping take up that challenge and providing direct town-to-town training on CTAS. But the program is at the end of its life, and we've met a few times with Auditor Otto's and her staff trying to determine the best way to do it. And as much as we'd like to continue the free ride, in today's economic world, we realize the money probably just isn't there for a blanket appropriation from the state. And so we are supportive of the effort. And I believe as amended, the bill no longer requires a new appropriation, that there are some existing funds that can be borrowed against or leveraged anyhow and then reimbursed by the local level. We have been telling our folks about this approach and generally receiving very supportive responses from our members that we need to keep the CTAS program alive. Should it stop, if we can't do the upgrade and put it onto the new platform for today's technology, our members would either end up going back to paper accounting, which I don't think most people would like to see. That creates some headaches of its own, or having to buy very expensive private sector software that does not come with the support and training levels that we have with our coordinated efforts with the state auditor's office. And so we did agree in December. We had a meeting with our staff and the auditor's staff, and we did agree that this approach made sense. I'm not sure if Ms. Sletton is in the room from the small cities, but I did meet with her last week, and she assured me that they also had a similar discussion and vote of full support for this approach. So with that, we would encourage your aye vote on Senate File 255.
And Auditor Otto, any other comments?
Madam Chair, Rebecca Otto, State Auditor, I would be happy to take questions. I think that it's been well characterized by Mr. Sulem.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any concerns about the legislation? This will have to go to finance. So.
Yes, Madam Chair, this bill establishes Senator new Saxon. Revenue funds. So, yeah, it will need to be seen by State Department Veterans Budget Division. So I'd like to have this bill.
And I hope you get a positive reception from the chair of that division.
Yeah, we're hoping to. But of course, it's got to go back to, technically, you know, it's got to go back to finance first.
I'll entertain a motion. Senator Dahl? Okay, Senator Dahl moves that Senate File 255 is amended, be recommended to pass, and be referred to the Senate Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Senator Rest. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. I bring you Senate File 191 at the request of both the state auditor and the legislative auditor. Senate File 191 provides for a transfer of the auditing duties of the JobZ program from the state auditor's office to the legislative auditor's office.
Senator Rest, you have a delete all author's amendment?
And I have an author's amendment, which I would appreciate you putting on the bill.
All right. Senator Johnson moves the A2 author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
So, Madam Chair, the bill now, as amended, accomplishes that that purpose, and I have both the state auditor and the legislative auditor with me to answer any questions and or to give testimony if you would like.
Mr. Nobles?
Do you want me to...
Auditor Otto?
Certainly.
Okay. Whoever wants to go first.
I'll briefly explain. This is something I was interested in doing a couple of years ago, but it just wasn't taken up. So JobZ, when it was given to my office before I was there, or to the office, was administered at the local level, and my office oversees local government, so that was appropriate. There were some issues with the program, and so there was some legislation considered around reforming JobZ. A lot of those reforms didn't go through, but what happened in the meanwhile was Department of Employment and Economic Development kind of overhauled it internally, made it more of a state-administered program through DEED, and changed the contract and the whole thing, which was good. And so really at this point, it's a state-administered program rather than administered at the local level, and so it's really not within our area of oversight and would be more appropriate to go to Mr. Nobles as he does the state agencies and state programs. So to me, it's fairly technical. Was the Dairy Council included as well in your amendment? Yes. And there was a Dairy Council that's included in that amendment, something that was created recently. It has Department of Ag and I think a university person. Again, that gets more into his area, and so we're just transferring responsibility to him on this new Dairy Research Council that we became aware of a couple of months ago. So
the Dairy Council is in Section 1 of the bill?
Of the amendment.
The amendments?
Of the delete all, yeah.
Is it in there? Did it get in?
Oh, is that one?
According to Ms. James, that's the Dairy Council section.
Perfect. Thank you.
So that's the bill.
Okay.
And again, the rationale is that these accounts are more appropriately, since they are state accounts, they're more appropriately audited on a schedule by the legislative auditor who does that rather than the state auditor who audits activities of local governments.
And this has to go to Finance Committee as well?
I don't believe so. There's no request for any additional funds to under which to do these to do this work.
Okay. We had a request.
You did have a request.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Any questions? Yes, Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Rest, I don't know if you have had this conversation, but it just seems to me that doing an audit every year is a lot, and I don't know if you received any comments or any feedback as to whether or not, I don't know if the state auditor or Mr.
Nobles
would like
to come in. Are you looking at the delete all amendment, the A2 amendment?
The A2 amendment addresses that, Madam Chair.
It takes out the annual
change.
Senator Torres-Ray, but
okay,
also...
Senator Rest.
It makes... Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Torres-Ray, it makes an annual audit more or less discretionary if the legislative auditor sees fit. Otherwise, it will be on a regular schedule of audits, generally, which take place once every 3 years. And so I think that takes care of that concern. There are some things that the legislative auditor does every year, the federal funds and the CAFR, but the agencies that are audited are done on a rotating basis, generally once every 3 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Rice. I didn't quite understand that because in the first and the original in the bill, it says annually, but I didn't quite get that that was the same language in the A2. But that's all. The concern I had was
I think in Senator Torres Ray in the beginning, and this the language of the original bill just substitutes legislative auditor for state auditor. But in the beginning of the Job Seed program, I think they felt as a local program that was very important for those programs to be monitored by the state auditor on a local basis as that program was getting started. But coming under the purview of the legislative auditor now, and as those are being phased out, that's no longer felt to be necessary.
Thank you.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Vest, has there been any opposition to this, or who would oppose this? It looks like just good common sense, but I'm asking.
Senator Vest.
Madam Chair and Senator Hall, no, there's no opposition to it, but in order to accomplish it, we need to change the statute.
Sure. Okay.
Any other questions? Comments, concerns? Then Senator Johnson moves that Senate File 191 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Senate Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, Chris, why don't you come over here because I have it set up for you, the amendment.
Thank you.
And the rest of us are revolving.
Yeah, I have it.
That's not what you're saying.
Oh, we have a repealer?
Yes.
They're trying to get that.
Okay.
You saw that move.
What you
and then Alice caught
me. Senator Pappas?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 237 is setting up a enterprise fund for the state auditor. Right now, counties are required to pay for examinations conducted by the state auditor, and under current law, the county's payments are deposited into the general fund, and appropriations to the state auditor are made from the general fund. This bill establishes a state auditor enterprise fund to receive examination fees and establishes an annual appropriation from the state auditor enterprise fund to the state auditor. And I'll turn it over to the state auditor to explain why she wants this fund.
Sure. Madam Chair and members, so this enterprise fund will be beneficial for more than one reason. First, from an accounting perspective, it makes a lot of sense because we're required by statute to charge for our costs of conducting audits of the state's interests. And what an enterprise fund does, or the state might call it a special revenue fund, is it tracks your revenues expenditures very closely, so, you know, and we are required to cover our costs. We have to set our audit rates annually and let our audit clients know what they will be, and that will still be reviewed by Minnesota Management and Budget, even if we have an enterprise fund. Some people say, well, you know, can you do anything you want? No, our fees still get reviewed. Typically, when we set our audit fees, we have to base it on a whole bunch of information, and sometimes you might have a little over-recovery when you're charging your clients, and if there's a little bit of over-recovery, that benefit is tended to go into the state general fund. If there's any over-recovery now, what it'll do is, since the revenues expenditures are tracked together in this special revenue fund, that tiny benefit might go back to the counties or the cities that we're auditing, which in effect will stabilize audit rates for them. It's hard to do a lot right now when you have a budget deficit for our local governments, but this is one piece that would be beneficial to Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and to many of our counties. And so it's a small thing, but a good thing to do for them. The other advantage that is kind of unexpected is it will make it more, our budget will be more understandable to legislators. It hasn't always been, it's been kind of counterintuitive, and so I think there's an advantage there as well when we come before you. So we would still come before you. We could explain the activity in the enterprise fund, or if the state calls it a special revenue fund. Our audit rates are still double-checked. The legislative auditor still audits us and makes sure that we're doing everything properly. So the main things that will change is that our fees will be deposited into it, and then our expenses are paid out of it. And our local governments might get a little benefit out of it, too, which I think would be a nice thing to do for them. So,
thank you, Auditor Otto. Any questions for either Senator Pappas? Or?
Madam Chair.
Yes,
Senator Pappas. Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you explain what the repealer does in Section 5?
Senator Pappas.
You should have a copy of the repealer, and that is the section that talks about the general fund. I think maybe Ms. James will can explain that for us.
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas, Senator Torres-Rae, the repealed section is, as Senator Pappas mentioned, describes the use of the general fund for these purposes, and so it's no longer necessary since the general fund won't be used. There are significant portions of 6.58, the repealed section, that are copied into the new section, 6.581, that begins on line 2.25, that deals with the setting the schedule of the charges. It's really, in large part, the same.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions? I have one then. I'm Senator Pappas. I'm sorry. I have a question about the on 232, the subdivision 2, the contract with private parties. Is this a? I guess my concern is that is this a contracting out provision?
Please go ahead. Okay, Madam Chair. This language is currently in statute and has been there for some time. It might go back to Arne Carlson's days as state auditor. I think there was a reason why they put it in. We currently don't use the provision. I would say that it's a pretty typical provision for a state auditor to have if you needed to get work done and you didn't have the personnel. But that's current statute, and Ms. James might be able to confirm that for you.
Madam Chair, Senators, yes, in current statute, the authorization to use private contracts reads, when full-time personnel are not available, the state auditor may contract with private persons, firms, or corporations for accounting and other technical services.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Senator Torres-Rae.
Madam Chair, I think that this is a very good question you asked. And if we don't use it, could we delete it? Is there any problem on deleting this? The reason I say this is because I think this is this language that we've been using for 20 years or whatever, however long, and we don't use it. You know, we need to start thinking about deleting language that is not useful. We shouldn't copy and paste just because it has been there.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Torres, I think it's just a little bit more complicated than that. It's not just boilerplate language, because it does include a sentence that says, for example, in producing reports, if they have a heavy workload that they have to do and they may have to go to someone outside to duplicate the reports or print the reports, if they can't do them in-house. You might have other examples of when they would do that.
Auditor.
And Madam Chair and Senator Torres-Rae, you know, I asked someone on my staff, what happens if we deleted that language? And it was on the fly during a busy day, and they said, I need to think about that. And I guess I would be really happy if I could maybe work with you or somebody on reviewing our statutes, maybe not this year, but in a coming year or two, and really looking through some of the language that might be a little bit antiquated. I think we found one piece that was, but we'd really want to carefully examine it to make sure we're not doing something that's unintended, if that makes sense. We're not prepared to quite do that this year. You know, like I said, we're not currently using that provision. We have to really be careful to make sure we're not, like she said, if it's a special report or something we have to do and we don't have the personnel to be able to complete that or printing of something. So, but I would be very happy to look at that and do a review maybe for next session.
Thank you, Auditor Otto. Senator Torres-Rae, I just wanted to mention, I brought it up because it was underlined, so I thought it was new. I guess I'm fine with since it was there.
Right. I think we have to sometimes be a little cautious about unintended consequences when we add things or subtract things. And it's better to be a little cautious with this since it's old language.
Thank you, Senator Pattles. Any other questions?
Then, Madam Chair, I'll move that Senate File 237 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Finance Committee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We should just announce the vote. Make the motion for the vote.
Oh.
Just for purposes of the tape, that motion did prevail. That's Senate File 237. What happened to my? Here it is. Senator Dibble, Senate File 99.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Senate File 99 is a third or fourth run at trying to get it right in allowing. The Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board and the City of Minneapolis to enact either dedications of land or what we call impact fees, fees for the purpose of improving or developing parks near where we have new development in the City of Minneapolis. It's been the subject of a lot of negotiation and a lot of back and forth between a whole variety of stakeholders, and I think this time we might be getting it right. Before I proceed, Madam Chair, I'd like to offer the A3 amendment. Should be in your, I think it's in your packet.
This one, yeah.
A3 just clarifies a little bit about the process on line 20, and then
this is the first committee you've had this bill in, right? So it's the author's amendment.
Yes, Madam.
And would someone like to offer the A3 amendment?
I would.
Okay, Senator Hayden offers the A3 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, Senator Dipple.
Thank you. And just very, very briefly to the bill, Madam Chair, I keep trying to call you Madam President. this is very similar to the same sort of impact fee or dedication fee that many, many, if not most other communities, particularly in the metropolitan area, have for purposes of new development. This typically comes in under the governing rules and regulations under subdivisions when a previously undeveloped area is platted and parceled under the subdivision regulations, the allowable imposition of a fee for the purpose of developing park facilities that improve the property and, of course, benefit the residents is allowed. Minneapolis, of course, is a fully built environment, so we don't quite fit into that regime or that regulatory framework. So this is a direct grant of authority to the Park Board and the City Council for this purpose under these criteria, under this guidance set forth in the bill before you. Madam Chair and members, we have Anita Tabb from the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board who can illuminate us a bit further.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Tabb.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Anita Tabb, and I am a commissioner on the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. Thanks very much for the opportunity to make this brief statement in support of the park dedication fee. This legislation allows Minneapolis to impose a park dedication fee on net new residential housing units and a net increase in commercial space. Other Minneapolis cities have this authority, and at last count, 71 of 80 metro area cities have implemented some form of park dedication fee to assist with the development of their parks. And this legislation is supported unanimously by the Minneapolis Park Board, the Minneapolis City Council, and the Minneapolis Downtown Council. The park dedication fee, like other park dedication fees, is simply a dedicated fee. These funds will be segregated into separate accounts, and the proceeds can be used only to acquire new park land or build new park facilities that are immediately proximate to the property owners who pay the fee. These fees have been used throughout Minnesota to provide parks to families. The person who pays the fee must and will receive direct benefit. These park dedication fees are needed in areas where dense housing projects are occurring in older areas of the city that were industrialized and are now seeing condos and apartment units going in. There are no open spaces or parks in these areas. The only prudent way for the city and the park board to provide these improvements is through park dedication fees. And here I'd really like to provide an example because I represent a park district to which this legislation is particularly appropriate. If you're familiar with the new Twins Stadium, it's located in a neighborhood known as the North Loop neighborhood. This relatively new neighborhood is also known as the Warehouse Historic District. It features a remarkably intact concentration of commercial buildings designed by the city's leading architects and engineers. Wholesalers found it a natural location to concentrate warehouses just northwest of the Central Business District, where land values were relatively low and rail lines were nearby. Needless to say, parks were never part of this landscape in the early part of the 20th century. But fast forward to the 21st century, and you will see a booming residential neighborhood surrounding the popular Twin Stadium and hosting some of the hottest new restaurants and chefs in Minneapolis. The number of residents has tripled between 2000 and 2010. And the young people who were considered risk takers when they originally moved to the area have come to love its convenience, have gotten married, and had children. So the entire complexion of the area has changed. But the area never had parks, so it's truly underserved in terms of park space. Recently, the Neighborhood and the Park Board commissioned a feasibility study to determine the best place for park space in the neighborhood. We've got several possibilities, but funding a new park is very expensive. This legislation provides exactly the type of tool we need to augment the necessary infrastructure necessitated by growth. I would ask you to support it, and we would be delighted to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you for that history lesson. Are there any questions? Yes, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at the Senator Dival. I'm looking at the A3 amendment. See the change in the effective date. Could you just give the committee some background on why that language was changed? I'm imagining that there since has been action by the council and the Park and Rec Board approving some level of fee, approving fees in general. Could you just give us some information on what those fees were and what the agreement was?
Senator Dibble.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Peterson. The fee, curious about what the fee will be.
I'm assuming the reason for the language change, Senator, was that there has been since action taken by the council.
Yes, both the park board and the city council have passed their respective ordinances and made their agreements.
So you're ready to go rather than waiting until August 1st.
That's correct, Madam Chair. And the fee, if anyone needs to know, would be about $1,500 per housing unit.
Senator Peterson.
Right. Just a follow-up. So if you had a 40-unit building, it'd be 40 times 1,500?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Senator Peterson, that's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to get this straight. It's kind of new to me, these designated fees. It's anybody, Senator Dibble, anybody that has new construction pays this fee per unit. Is that correct?
Senator Hall.
Madam Chair, Senator Hall, that is correct, yes.
Madam Chair?
Senator Hall.
And then how far away from this area, for instance, I have a park near my home within, certainly a half mile, but I don't use that park a whole lot. I use the park that's about a mile away. So how far away do they continue to ask for new construction fees? And on any thought on that? Do we know?
Madam Chair and Senator Hall, there's what's called a nexus requirement in the law, and we follow that nexus requirement. It's quite specific. So I believe Commissioner Tabb probably has more specific information.
Commissioner Tabb? Madam Chair, it is approximately 6 blocks and could be up to a little bit further if you're using the money to make connections to existing trails, or something like that that would benefit that specific area.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Senator Hall.
I think I'm going to go along with this. When I first came in today, I read over this, I had a little different idea of what it was about. And my concern is that sometimes those that are using the product, whatever that may be, in this case parks, are not the ones that are paying for it. But it sounds in this case that it's typically because it's close by. I mean, it's like curbing. You put new curbing in, and in front of your house, you're going to end up paying for it. I just get concerned when you put a fee on a certain group of people, in this case, new construction contractors. Now, I'm assuming they're just going to pass it on to the price of the house, and the house is just going to go up a little bit more. And if it's within a half mile, I guess I understand that a little bit. I don't like the idea that if it benefits the whole city, then the whole city ought to be paying for it and putting it on the general property tax.
Right.
But I guess I understand how this is working. So I guess I'm
And Madam
okay
Chair.
Senator Dipple.
Just to be clear, all parks will still enjoy the benefit of larger taxes that are collected for general purposes. This will not pay for everything that the development of nearby parks need, or connections to parks or improvements to nearby parks that are going to receive a great deal more use or pressure from this new housing. So it'll be a mix of both these fees as well as, you know, the larger tax levy that occurs for this purpose, for these. And these are really our local parks, neighborhood parks that these fees will be used for the most part, to the extent that they're benefiting the regional parks. You know, sometimes the regional parks nearby serve a particular neighborhood disproportionately as well. That's the case where I live. I live near Lake of the Isles and Lake Calhoun. Have one little tiny diamond pocket park, but otherwise I don't have any neighborhood parks near me. So my park is regional in nature, but also local.
Senator Thompson.
Madam Chair, thank you. And Senator Dibble, this really doesn't go to the merits of it. I'm kind of interested. You said that this is the second or third attempt to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, as I was getting some help understanding this issue, this was actually passed one or two times before, but mm-hmm. somehow legal counsel for the city of Minneapolis didn't think the statute was properly drafted. Is that what's going on?
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. Good question, Madam Chair. Senator Thompson, I don't actually quite know. I think a lot of it had to do with concerns of the Builders Association, you know, just political policy, economic concerns, the Builders Association, a lot of back and forth between the city and the Park Board. So some of this is a product of it not working out between those two jurisdictions and entities. It's been, we've made a couple runs at it in the legislature, and one particular legislator last year just didn't like it, and so he blocked it. So that was frustrating.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to follow up then, uh-huh. have all the parties been consulted, so this time everybody's in agreement, the language is okay, we're good to go?
Yes.
Madam
Chair, Senator Thompson, kumbaya has broken out. All is good.
All right.
We're
Thank
good
you.
To go.
Senator Peterson and
okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, just to preface my comments, I will be supporting the bill. I don't see any problem if the city council decides to levy a fee for a particular purpose. I don't see that as our role to get in the way. So, but I'm just curious about the specifics anyways. Say the fee is collected. Say there's tons of housing units go up around an area, and let's just say for whatever reason maybe a park isn't built, or the park is only a half of the revenue that's mm-hmm. collected with the fee. What happens then with that revenue?
Great. Excellent question.
Senator Dipple,
Madam
or
Chair.
Commissioner?
I do know that the fees are collected and segregated specifically for the purpose that they were intended. So they're not fungible, as it were. They don't just kind of get dumped into the Park Board's general fund. They're earmarked for that purpose. I can't imagine that they won't use all the money, because more money is needed than is anticipated, or it could, you know, imaginably could be collected. But in that hypothetical, Commissioner Tabb might have a response.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Peterson, let me just sort of take a run at this. We would put it in an escrow account until we had enough money to do something that we thought was appropriate for that area. If we could not come up with enough money in that fund, what we would probably do is augment that with some property tax dollars or in some other way to make sure that we could do what we thought was appropriate for the area.
So, but, Commissioner, what if you had more money than you needed to do what was appropriate for the area? Has that
then
ever
happened? Madam Chair, what we would do then is probably we'd hold on to that that money because it cannot be used for operations and maintenance until we had a need for some additional capital in that area. So it could be that perhaps the first thing that we might do would be land acquisition and just maybe some open green space. Then we may want to come back later as the area changes and put in a tot lot, maybe two through five. Then maybe you might want to come back later and even add something for 5 through 12, or just those kinds of amenities that you need as your neighborhood changes and grows.
Obviously, we all like parks. We're having a lively discussion. Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my question was somewhat related to maybe what Senator Peterson was talking about, that you do have some vision for what, let's say, the warehouse district might look like in the development and a plan going forward to actually use the money. That's kind of what what you were getting at, I think.
Senator Hall.
To that point, I just want to thank Senator Dibble for bringing this out. As a former resident who grew up in Minneapolis, probably lived there at least 30 years, and probably lived most of my life at the parks because they were always a fun place to go, and when the family wasn't quite as orderly as you'd like it to be, it was a great place to be. And I still, parents live on Lake Nokomis, so I still use the trails and everything else. Thank you for doing this.
Okay,
Senator, Madam Chair, Senator Hall, you're always welcome.
Senator
Eaton. In Minneapolis and in our parks.
I'm handing the gavel to Senator Eaton because I have the A5 amendment, and I think we also have these already passed out, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I wanted to respond quickly to Senator Dahl. I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, Commissioner Tabb will correct me if I am, that these funds do need to be expended in accordance with the comprehensive plan that the parks develop.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Senator Pappas?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have the A5 amendment. St. Paul has actually been, I believe, doing this by ordinance, but because Minneapolis is coming in asking for statutory authority, we're kind of worried then that our ordinance might be vulnerable to challenge. So we have the A5 amendment, which really uses the same language as what Minneapolis is doing. I want to thank Senator Dibble and the Minneapolis Park Board for allowing us to kind of piggyback on this legislation. But it's really the same purpose, to augment a development, charge some modest fees to develop the park or the amenities around it. And we have people here from St. Paul if anyone has any questions about that.
Are there any questions?
I have a question, Madam
Senator
Chair.
Peters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering if there is anybody in stakeholders in the room that are able to comment, either the Builders Associations or the city or anyone like that. I know you're kind of working on something there, but.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, Senator Peterson, I was going to ask for that after we put on this amendment.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad you're all over it.
But I'm glad you reminded me, because on the last three bills we didn't ask if anyone else wanted to testify. So
Madam Chair, I'll just call your attention to the roster of authors. It's all the senators from the city of Minneapolis, and we are delighted because we're one Minnesota kind of senators to be of service to the city of St. Paul.
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question for Senator Pappas. I know we've been working on it for 3 or 4 years to try to bring people together. Do you think that we will have any opposition in St. Paul? Because that could kill Senator Dibble's bill. Minneapolis.
Madam Chair, maybe someone from St. Paul might want to come forward. Mr. Han, Mr. Kimball, or whoever happens to be in the room.
Good Welcome to the committee. Please state your name.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Members Mike Hamm. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of St. Paul. In response to the question, as Senator Pappas indicated, we have had local ordinance that for just over 5 years that has allowed us to proceed with this practice in the City of St. Paul. We've done that without issue or incident. We are in the process of updating that language, and we appreciate the opportunity to work if should this legislation be approved. Expect we'll have some conversation as we update that, but I fully expect we'll be able to continue to work as we have the last 5 years, having parkland dedication with no issue or incident as we've had up to this point.
Are there any questions?
And Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Torres Ray, for asking the question. I'm glad you did, because we were nervous about that very point, and I think through the course of the conversations over the weekend, starting Thursday when Senator Pappas originally approached me, I think we settled that, and I think we're good. And I think if we run into too much friction, which I don't think we will, I think everyone's good, we'll deal with it accordingly, because we really want the Minneapolis piece to pass, because we've been at it for a long time.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Well, strength in numbers.
Any other questions?
I renew my motion for the A5 amendment.
Do I ask for any other testifiers? Okay. Senator Pappas moves the A5 amendment. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify? Anyone else that wants to testify? Okay. Then we'll, if there's any concerns, we'll certainly hear it. But this bill is going to the floor. So, with no other discussion, then Senator, who's moving this bill? Senator Hayden or Senator Torres Ray together?
I just wanted to make a comment, Madam Chair, before you move it. When
All
we
right,
think
Senator
about,
Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair, about these accounts and how, you know, kind of we have a dedicated fee. If you think about, if we build a building of 1,000 apartments, we may collect $1.5 million. And $1.5 million does not even develop a playground in Minneapolis. So, you know, when we think about building an account and thinking that we're going to put a fee in there and we're going to collect all of this money, and then if we don't have a place for a park, so expensive to build a park in the city. So we may be able to do a trail to connect them to the river in your district.
That's one expensive playground.
It's, you know, it's expensive to build these places because the land is expensive and
right.
Everything, you know.
You have to have the special surface now so the kids don't
ADA approval and all of that. It's tough. Right. But anyway, just wanted to make a comment on how expensive it could become. So you're going to need a lot of subsidies from other places to build these parks. But thank you.
Okay, then Senator Hayden moves that Senate File 99 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to and placed on general orders. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank
members,
you.
I just want to announce that on Wednesday we're going to tour the innards of the Capitol. I think it'll be really fun, and we're going to meet at 3 o'clock. Where are we going to meet, Ms. Josephson? Right, we're going to meet right at the committee room, and then someone from DOA is going to take us on the tour. So, you know, be on time so you don't miss the tour. I think it's going to be really – I did it a couple years ago, and it's – oh, it could be a little cool, I imagine, if you're down in the tunnel and wear comfortable shoes. Yeah, Senator
– yes,
we'll send the details about what the dress code is. Senator Hall?
Does that mean we won't have committee?
We will
committee?
Not have committee. Okay. Right. We'll just do the tour. I suppose it'll take about an hour.
Okay.
So any other questions, comments, concerns? All right. Meeting is adjourned.